Mr. Humphries, leave my pussy alone.
I just went gay all of a sudden.
It's funny because it's true.
You sound gay. You look gay. You're gay. Puffcast.
Well, now we've got that sorted out, can we get on?
Puffcast.
Oh, yes, let's get on.
Another episode of the Puffcast. The internationally scaled Puffcast.
Yes, indeed.
Flying across the oceans nowadays.
We have someone from overseas on our Puffcast.
That's right.
It's very exciting.
Well, hello to everyone overseas who's listening. Yes. Everyone on in Australia.
Everyone overseas, I'm the fabulous Adam Richard. This is the outrageous Scott Brennan.
Hello.
And this is the punctual Toby Sullivan.
Is this going to take long?
Oh, my God, you've stuck with that one for months.
Yeah.
It's too late for me to have any new ideas.
But you're finding new things in it every week, Toby. Yes.
Is this going to take long?
Don't ruin it. That's it.
We need those for next week. Oh. Here's the Puffcast.
Cece feels things deeply. Cece is a deeply feeling person.
Puffcast. Hello.
Hello, is that Jeff?
It's Jeff.
Hi, Jeff. It's Talking Puffy. How are you?
Hello, Puffton.
Hello, Jeff.
Jeff, are you really from Canada? This is a prank. You're not real. You're from
Canada,
like.
Yes.
Let's start at the beginning. You listen to the Puffcast all the way from. It's Toby. Hello. You listen to the Puffcast all the way from Canada.
Yeah.
Right. And.
And we'd like to just apologise for that first off, Jeff. Hi, it's Scott here. Hi.
I guess basically what I'm getting at is, what the fuck do you think you're doing? Listening to this kind of shit. They've got entertainment in Canada, don't they? They've got television. They've got like Moose TV or something.
You've got Celine Dion, don't you?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Come on.
Why are you bothering with us?
I don't know. Absolutely, you guys are kind of the funniest thing that I've ever run into. So.
Oh, well, it is rural Canada. There's not a lot going on.
Do you listen to it when you're drunk?
I have a hard time understanding you, though. I kind of have to run you through Google Translate first.
What is this word, fisting?
Have you been to Australia?
No, I haven't. I have a good friend from Australia who works in TV there. I don't think he listens to you guys, but we'll say hi to Rick.
Where exactly in Canada are you from, precisely?
You get specific. You can either say Toronto, or right now I live in Sudbury, which is home to the second biggest smokestack in the world.
Claim to fame. God, your tourist trade must be going through
chimneys.
The roof.
And, of course, number one, Scott, right here in the studio.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, I knew you were from Sudbury, so I did a little bit of research, and it appears to me that Sudbury is a bit of a shithole.
I have one gay bar, and nobody goes to it.
Oh, is it just you on your own? Sitting there.
No, I'll be honest. There's wood paneling, and I guess that immediately attracts lesbians.
What's the name of the gay bar in Sudbury, Ontario?
It's Zig. Isn't the name of the gay bar? Yeah, Zig.
Ziggs.
I don't know who Zig is, but that's the name of the place.
He was actually the only other homosexual to go there, so they named it after him.
It needs to have a good name, like CC Blooms in Edinburgh, which is named after Bette Midler's character in Beaches.
It should be called Celine's. It's Canadian. It should be called Celine.
Mm. It's Dion Dive.
I was going to ask you about that. I mean, we've got Celine Dion here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's actually
the
world's...
Las Vegas? Is there Las Vegas in Australia? Is there like an equivalent?
There's Brisbane. Dion that
goes? It'd be the Gold Coast,
babe.
The Gold Coast is all glitz and tits and...
Surfer's paradise.
Anorexic bitches giving out parking meter money and
then
football rape camp and stuff.
Yeah, 2 weeks a year, all the people who finished year 12 go up there before they go to university or, you know, the dole.
To finger each other in gutters.
Yeah. Yes.
I was up there once for schoolies, coincidentally, not because I was trawling for teeny trade.
Well, you know, a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. Yeah.
Well, shame to waste a trip.
My sister and I are walking down the street and there was this queue outside a chemist shop. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on there? And Michelle's just gone, queuing up for the morning after pill, love.
Oh, no.
Saturday morning.
People lining up at the doctors going, can you get a yeast infection from being fingered with an Alka Pop? Sorry, Jeff's still on the line, guys. Yeah, he's still here. Sorry,
Jeff. I told you, we would talk over you a lot.
So, yeah, I'm still feeding it through Google Translate.
Ah, okay, right, yes.
And are there heaps of gays in Sudbury? Well, if there's only one gay bar, there can't be that much going on.
Well, there's a bunch. There's a couple queers that I'm aware of. Yeah, I don't know how many of them go to the queer bar. There's probably about three.
Right.
Oh, you poor baby. You can't even get a 4G going. Oh.
Well, that being said, 4G, I heard the episode where you guys talked about a 4G, and that made me think. I ran into a situation the other day, and then I wanted to ask you, what does, if you could picture in your mind, what does 1,000 pounds of men on a bed look like?
1,000 pounds of men?
What would I be? I'd be about 300, so it'd be three of me.
Man, that looks like a flooring disaster waiting to happen. That's what that sounds like.
No, I figure about five, but I don't know how many beds would support that kind of...
Well,
you need a special bed, right?
I think it's more kind of, it's size than weight distribution,
You
actually.
Know what you should do is talk to the people who sold beds to Roseanne Arnold and Tom Arnold.
Yeah, I reckon he'd weigh about 500, Roseanne.
Yeah.
Easily.
Just talk to the person who sells Oprah her bed every second year.
Now, Jeff, you're at university. You're at university in Canada. What are you studying? Geopolitical irrelevance? What are you learning?
You don't want to know what I study.
Yet. Oh, no, sure I think do. We do now.
Oh, we do.
Well, no, I study engineering. Yeah.
Oh. Oh, well, hence the question about the bed. Get out your slide rule and work out the answer, Jeffrey.
I think beds are third year. Yeah. So just... You'll get there.
I'm doing a PhD on the acceleration of semen as it leaves bed, you know.
Dr. Jizz.
I think it's
we'll see. Is this a PhD or extracurricular activities? Are you getting points for this?
Hands-on experience.
I don't know if you can measure jizz velocity. It does decrease with age, though. I've noticed mine just dribbles out now. Oh. It's a long time since I got myself in the eye.
It's been a long time since anyone was looking. So, Jeff, if I know hardly anything about Canada. Oh, no, I do. I went to Montreal, which has an excellent Go-Go Boys.
Oh.
Cannot rate them highly enough.
Mm.
But apart from that, I don't really know anything else. What should be like our Canadian tour itinerary?
Well, I don't know if... have you seen the American version of Queer as Folk?
There's
I guess a huge portion that was shot in Toronto. A lot of the gay bars here actually changed their logos or the signage on their bars to represent what's on TV. They kind of abandoned 30 years of their... traditional storefronts to do that. So there
to remember what's on TV, like
on the Queer as Folk show.
Oh, I thought he was talking like The Price is Right. Oh, thank you so much, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff.
Been a pleasure. Go back to your midnight sun now.
The midnight.
I'll see you guys.
Thanks,
Jeff. Bye.
So you like show tunes? Doesn't mean you're gay. It just means you're awful.
Hello.
Hello, is that Nellie Thomas?
Yes.
All three of us are homosexual.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my Lord. Hello, misogynist faggot.
Hello. And so it begins.
You're not misogynist.
You can certainly regularly disparage it. Did I just hear Adam Richards say, we're not misogynist?
We're not misogynist.
I've got more work to do than I thought.
Hating lesbians is not misogyny.
I have life heard such a diatribe of misogyny and internalized homophobia since the last time I listened to Alan Jones. Oh, my God. You three need a talking to, and I am the woman to do it.
Like what? Name one time. Name one time we have been disrespectful to fish.
Just one thing that we've done that's been disrespectful to women or lesbians. Bitsy, pipe down. We're trying to talk to a bisexual woman.
Give her a milk bone or something.
But start.
Go over there and bite your flannel shirt.
It comes on whenever you mention the Ferris X. Let's start with the woof woof who let the dogs out every time you mention anyone with a fucking vagina.
No, it's not every time we mention someone with a vagina.
It's just most times when we mention someone
no,
with a vagina.
No, Nelly, I have to explain. It's when we talk about lesbians and Bitsy is our lesbian correspondent.
That, because we're inclusive.
Yeah.
And you know how much lesbians love dogs. We're just trying to pander to their needs and their demographic.
Lesbians love pandas. With the fact.
Well, lesbians look like pandas, but then.
Oh, there we go. I didn't even need to say it. The generalisation. You know, what I would like. Firstly, let me say this.
Right.
Firstly, I need to be clear for the ladies who love ladies who might be listening, who is, you know, exactly zero. Mm. Just in case. Obviously, I cannot claim to represent the lesbian fraternity in all honesty, but I will say that I am, like Toby, is a cultural Catholic.
Yes.
I consider myself a cultural lesbian.
Well, right. I've always thought, you know, if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck.
Yes.
Apart from occasionally getting a man up you, you really, you could be a lesbian.
Well, yes. The way I think about it, like Toby, I do show up for major events, but I ignore the rules on cock. Right? So... I do have some credibility, and I will say...
Yeah, we know having that baby with that life partner is just it's the worst smokescreen ever, Nelly.
I was just about to say something nice about you and go the other two, and now I've decided
to. Oh, no, let's go back. Let's go back.
There's only one of you that's got any fucking lesbo credibility at all, and that's you, my friend.
Me?
The other two. Oh, at least you like lesbians.
I like lesbians. I like individual lesbians. I just don't like them en masse. And by en masse, I mean three.
I like lesbians just as long as they don't fucking act like it. Do you know what I mean? I like lesbians that act like normal people. That's what I like.
Actually, Toby, what I will say for you is you don't like lesbians, but you don't like anybody.
Yeah, this is true.
Tick.
He's not a misogynist. He's a misanthrope.
Yes, an equal opportunity misanthrope.
The generaliser, I listened to several talking poofies back to back on a long haul flight.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, I'm so sorry about that.
I broke down
fucking
hives.
Oh, really?
I tried. Honest to God, what is with your generalisations about ladies who love ladies? What is wrong with you?
Have you heard the Poofcast? We're making generalisations left, right, and fucking center about everything.
We just did a sex survey and were surprised by our own preconceptions.
Now, Nelly, I have met several of the lesbian friends in your coterie, in your lesbian coven, and
out there in Resbian, where you live, just down the road from Prestbian.
And they all conform to the lesbian stereotype. Oh. They are all there in flannel shirts. And when I went to your house for your daughter's party, who was setting up the trampoline in the front yard?
It was
the lesbians.
Had they just come from Bunnings?
While all the arts fags sat around in the backyard sipping champagne.
Oh, what are the lesos doing? Oh, they're putting up the kids' stuff.
If you didn't have three bottles of champagne and a spliff in your hand, perhaps you could have helped.
Touché, Nelly.
I've always said I love the fact.
Talking now. Lady talking now.
You're not a lady. You're a bisexual.
Go on, Adam. Adam, shut up. Adam, shut up.
Oh, all right.
Let her talk. If she talks long enough, we can get funding for this podcast.
Yeah, I hate it when you're actually funny.
Doesn't happen often.
No, that was a good one. That was a good one. Write it down.
Sorry, please.
All the generalisations you make about lesbians, you three, I want to go through them now, one by one.
Okay.
Right.
Right. First, all lesbians love dogs.
Yes.
Facts. Right. Geraldine here doesn't have a dog.
Doesn't mean she doesn't love him.
She doesn't even like him.
She hasn't even been out for like 6 minutes. She'll learn to love them when she moves in with
them. Yeah. Once you come out, it takes
how long you've been out for.
Yeah, it takes a little while for the dog gland to grow.
Yeah, poofters don't like glee at the first sight, but you know, you just have to because everyone else does after a while.
I didn't see Gypsy till I was 26.
See?
Right, okay, I'm saying, there's actual logic to this.
Yeah.
Okay, lesbians are all ugly.
Wow. Mm. No, I don't believe that.
No.
Just most of them.
That's why I was going to defend you.
Ah.
Ruby Rose is very attractive, but I don't think she's a proper lesbian.
Ruby Rose? Why isn't she a proper lesbian?
Because look at her. She's gorgeous.
That's like fag, Adam Richard. You can't be a proper faggot because you're fat.
It's true. It's a horror I live with every day.
That's why they invented the lead.
I'm pretty much a lesbian. I live very far north of Murray Road.
You do.
Not all lesbians are ugly. The lesbians that look like twinks are quite attractive.
Yes.
Yeah, we found ourselves quite conflicted one day when we had a talking puffing meeting next to a bar that had a lot of young lesbians in it. I'm like, oh, I'm finding some of these short-haired men ladies attractive.
Yes.
I didn't know whether I was a pedophile or a heterosexual.
You're showing your age.
They all look like Justin Bieber.
You're showing your collective ages because you can't even spot the lesbos anymore.
I know. Well, it's becoming more difficult.
It is.
Portia de Rossi, two words. Portia de Rossi.
Yeah, I think it's three words. Also, lesbians can't count.
And her name's Mandy Rogers.
Well, there you go. That's two words.
Yep.
That's a good-looking lady.
She is a good-looking lady.
But look at her husband. Ooh.
Oh, love.
She can dance.
No, she can't.
Ellen DeGeneres looks like she was made in the Jim Henson workshop.
I miss him, Patrick Swayze over there.
I look like I was made by Peter Jackson.
Yeah, he's from the Weta workshop.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, I've got to tell you, I know before you did accuse me of having internalized homophobia. It's, you know,
do
I don't.
Need to point that out?
I think that, well, it's not because I've always been quite staunchly of the opinion that me and the lesbians, other than a generic body shape and comfortable shoes, have fucking nothing in common. And I am. Literally, I'm not lying here, scared of lesbians. It is actual homophobia. I am actually afraid
in the literal sense, yes.
of a group of lesbians. They scare me because they're, like straight men, more masculine than I am, more capable than I am, and you know, physically terrifying.
Kick the shit out of
they
you.
They would, I'm sure.
Now, look, I think if you're going to sprout generalisations about the lesbians, yes, they will come and get you and fuck you up.
So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
It is a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yes.
But, you know, I hate to actually get real about it. Perhaps you could spend some time with some actual lesbos.
Oh, my God. It's like the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Oh, God.
Why? Again, I have nothing in common with them. What are we going to talk about?
How do you know that? That's like some bloody guy in, you know, fucking East Widgie Malfa going, oh, no, I can't do faggots. What would I fucking talk to him
Well,
about?
I don't want to talk to him either.
Surely if we had something in common, we would already be hanging out with lesbians.
Yeah.
Oh, for God.
We're forced to spend time with them. You know what it's like?
I do hang out with lesbians.
You
yeah,
do?
Thank you, Scott. And also, Toby Sullivan pretending to be so cool. Oh, my God. You've got more fucking dyke friends than all of us put together.
Nellie, you're ruining it. The fourth wall, Nellie, stop it.
The fags don't like you at all. In fact, Talking Puffy, every time I've been to a Talking Puffy performance, who likes you? It's the lesbian.
It is the lesbian, yes.
We do like those
lesbians.
Who
the fuck are these three queens? Who the fuck do they think they are? Oh, my God, they're not even funny, like, oh. Yeah. And the fags are going, this is fucking hilarious.
Well, maybe the lesbians hate themselves as well, because those ones that come to see us really seem to find us hilarious.
Yes.
Unless they think it's irony.
I think lesbians like us because they can come and see us and think to themselves, we're winning.
Yeah.
Is this the best they got?
Yeah.
We're
totally.
Well, this and Anthony Kalia, this is going to be a washout.
Yeah.
Nellie Thomas, you have schooled us good.
Yep.
You have schooled us.
I'm chastened.
I am chastened.
And I just want to apologise to all the growlers out there. for the and I wish to acknowledge their traditional ownership of this hardware store.
Well, should we make a pledge now never to make horrible generalisations about lesbians and instead make fun of those fucking useless bisexuals? Can't they pick a side?
God.
Pick a side, Jesus!
Wow.
That's
crazy.
Jesus.
Just because we keep everybody happy. Sorry, fellas, that I'm Richard. Your mummies.
That little whore makes me feel 9 feet tall. Proofcast.
All right, let's stop the hilarity, Scott.
Oh, God, why start now?
Let's bring it on, the Grunt Report with Grunty McFarkring.
Right, you wheezy old warnings to others, blow the fucking dust off your ass flaps and pay attention. Because at great personal cost to my fucking sanity and dignity, I've been paying attention to yous all, which, may I say, is 10 nanoseconds of my life I will never get back, and I want to know who the fuck I sue for damages in the International Court of these gassy cunts wasted my fucking time. You see, due to an abiding fondness for discount Canadian Viagra that I've harboured ever since a fucking cherub, I am subscribed, intentionally or other fucking wise, to a number of UMOL lists I would perhaps not have chosen to have my name on if I wasn't dancing on the ceiling on meth fumes on most Sunday mornings, which is when I use the fucking iMac or iPod or iPorn, whoever the fuck that skivvy-wearing golem from America with the Coke bottle bottoms on his face calls. Including, to my eternal fucking bitter and monumental regret, your cunting email list. Oh. So imagine my anal distress to discover in my inbox. Stop laughing! Stop laughing! Stop laughing, you faggots! I own you! I am your king! Some fucking email from you, what's your name, fucking Andrew or Arnold, or that's what I remember now, Fistula the Magnificent. Begging for donations to finance this podcast. Well, fuck me unconscious and buy me a flat in Adelaide. The gall, the cheek, the outrage, the fist, the fury. I had no idea it was even physically possible to hold a lower opinion of you cocksucking ass farts than I already did. But this idea of begging for donations is the kind of thing that makes me pray for a three-person-wide tsunami of infant shit to engulf you faggots on each and every one of your birthdays. Call me Shea fucking Guevara, you shitlickers, but in my understanding of the world of commerce, you charge people money for the goods and services you ostensibly purport to provide. How gutless can you get asking for donations? What the fuck is going on? Is World Vision open to gay and brain-dead division? How would it be if the good old Grunster, and for the record, may I note that none of you anal dags have any kind of permission to refer to me as the Grunster, how would it be if you came into one of the Wrongens National Chain of gay bars and celebrity karaoke dens and asked for a beer, which one of the illegally immigrated go-go boys behind the bar duly served to you, saying, go on then, mem sub, slam it, fucking the tang, enjoy your pint of dick juice. And the good old Grunster pops up from behind the counter and says, oh, if you wouldn't mind, please, kind sirs, I'm Oliver fucking dick in my ass twist. Could you spare a small donation in recognition of the goods and services I've rendered you this day? You'd fucking glass me in the coit with a bar stool, and rightly fucking so. If you want to make a buck out of this fucking podcast, overcharge for under-delivering like everybody else. What's wrong with you late-term embarrassments to humanity? No greed! No greed! Signed, yours, Compler, fucking mentory as always, Grunty McFuckring.
Thank you, Grunty. Oh.
But you are, Blanche, you are in that chair.
Proofcast. Well, it's time again, Toby, for your favourite segment.
It's my favourite. It is. I wait all week.
And you actually get a bit creepy about it, Toby.
I'm quite the fanatic.
Yeah.
Toby has just made a Jackson Pollock painting.
Yes.
please welcome Wes Snelling for Wes. Wes.
I just need a jingle, and he's like, Wes.
You know what? That's the last thing it needs.
Yes.
I think what it needs is some kind of point or structure.
Yes.
Where is Wes? He's unfeasibly gay. Where is Wes today?
You know, giving this segment an intro music bit
would legitimise it too much.
No, it would be like putting fucking sequins on a dead donkey and calling it a drag queen. That is just pointless.
Actually, have you seen some of those shows?
It should have a theme song, but the theme song should be completely irrelevant to the segment.
Yes.
It should be like
longer than the segment.
It should be like the theme to Bewitched or something. And it has nothing to do with Where's Where's. It should be the theme to The Nanny, and then we just go into Where's Where's.
Or the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
No, that implies a place.
Oh, yeah, okay, yes.
So where are you, Wiz?
The choice is up to you. Don't stop me with a song.
Show me the theme to Growing Pains. Show me the smile again.
Show me that smile.
Okay, all right, let's...
It should be the Village People. I love you to death.
So where are you, Wes? What can you see?
So I'm feeling a bit... I'm quite wrapped. I'm quite kind of wrapped in something. And it's
Oh, it's Laura Palmer, Twin Peaks. Okay, thanks, Wes. Wait, so you're wrapped in something.
Wrapped in plastic. That was going to be next week's, but now it's not anymore.
Oh.
No, wrapped in, and it's kind of... And, there's a lovely lady here who's visiting from France.
Right. So you're wrapped up in something.
And there's a lady visiting from France.
Yes, she's visiting from France and she's singing.
Oh, is it Tina Arena doing Chains at Red Roar in 1999?
I'm in Chains!
Is it really?
Oh, are you Tina
that's
Arena?
That's literally what I had. I'm just in Chains. I wrote down, before you called, I wrote down, I'm in Chains. Somehow I'll figure out how I'm going to get
through. Because you remember when she flew out from France to do the number at Red Roar, down at the docks.
I'm in Chains!
And she was all wrapped up in the fabric and just unwound through the whole thing.
So I can't believe you just got Wes though. I can't believe you just got that in one.
Wes and I have a bond. We share a link.
Oh my god.
It's
Tina
Arena.
Wow. Well,
okay, when Toby gets Wes, we need to maybe end this segment.
Yeah. I think either our work here is done or run for your fucking life.
The gay-pocalypse is coming.
Oh my god.
Wes is the first of the four horsemen.
Oh god. And the first horse is confusion. But thank you, Wesley.
Thank you, Wes.
No, thank you so much.
Thanks, Wes.
No one ever calls me, and I look forward to this segment every week. I sit.
Yeah, thanks, Wes. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
By your inflection, I can tell that you think what you're saying is funny, but no.
Poofcast. Oh, it's time again to talk to Mother Horan.
Let's go back to this fascinating discussion.
More on Polaris. Yes. More on euphemisms and gay words that should not become extinct.
Language of homos.
Tell us more, Pauline, about this Polari.
There's all sorts of gay languages that are kind of dying out all over the globe, and slowly people are putting them together, and hopefully someone will write them properly. But one of the... my most favourite one is in Russia, in St. Petersburg, there is quite a sort of separate gay language. And that had to be very secret, especially during the Stalinist times.
Well, even now, I imagine.
And the kind of euphemism that was used in the early days in kind of Stalinist Russia was ghoulboy. And ghoulboy means light blue. Now, light blue was because if you were gay and you wanted to go cottaging, you stuck to the light blue line on the metro in St. Petersburg.
Amazing.
And ghoulboy apparently means light blue. So you kind of go, he's a bit light blue. And because,
oh, wow. Because, so they had a whole train line of...
Yeah, well, like of, the 86.
Yeah. So
Victorians, that's a tram.
But that's kind of to call someone light blue used to be, 20 years ago, that was kind of quite offensive, kind of like faggers to us. But it's kind of been extinguished. But there's starting to be Russian gay historians saying, hey, we should actually keep this. Because this is a really interesting, and it's such to call someone a bit light blue. Oh. It's like very like light in the loafers is to America.
Yeah.
Rainbow or something like that.
A bit lavender.
But it is important to keep that kind of shared secret thing.
Because as
we blend into the rest of the world, like we do have a unique experience, and so it's a great way of staying in touch with that.
Absolutely.
You might use those words for fun or for jokes or whatever, but what it gives, and what the whole segment's about really, is giving the lie to the fact that it came from a time when you did have to be underground.
Absolutely.
And you did have a political solidarity.
And I think it's really important to remember those kind of times for those guys.
Yeah. Yeah, it's. I was having a conversation with someone the other day, a young person.
Yes.
And I said, oh, she doesn't know what she's on about. And he said, who are you talking about? And I was like, well,
she
say Scott.
Yeah.
Like, oh, but he's, why did you call him she? And I'm like, oh, love.
God.
Love.
Have you,
and even, but even that, like that once upon a time, referring to men as women and, you know, and men as women as men would have been one of your like, hey,
one of your staples.
I just called Scott she, and so you would kind of go, oh, right, you too.
But even if you don't use it as a signal, like, to tell you the truth, quite often I'll very consciously talk like that.
Yeah.
About, oh, get her or whatever. Like, even if it's not a signal, it's a way of expressing your difference.
Yeah.
You know, I suppose.
Of saying, yes, I'm gay without having to go, I'll go, yes, I'm gay.
Yeah. You don't have to, Adam, let's face it.
Yeah.
Me, maybe not. Yeah.
It can be seen from space.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's just a way of flying the flag.
Yeah. And,
but I think also some of these words should become extinct.
Oh, really?
My grandmother's great euphemism, and this could be just Doris's thing, was he's a bit of a whoopsie.
Oh, whoopsie.
Oh, see, I've always liked whoopsie.
And I think I just imagine someone who can never really see rugs properly.
It's going to go, whoopsie.
I always thought whoopsie was, oh, dear, I've fallen on a cock again. I did not mean that to happen, but there it is, right up me.
Well, my grandmother's was, does he sit down to wee? Apparently, if you sit down to wee, you fucking love cock.
No, you sit down to wee so you don't ruin the rug.
Oh. Now, look, I've got.
Thereby, yes, yeah.
Do we have time for one more?
Yeah.
One more.
Time for one more. A word that, a euphemism for being gay is friend of Dorothy, of course.
Of course.
Now, a lot of people think this comes from The Wizard of Oz.
It doesn't.
But it's, once again, this is contentious, but the weight, the new kind of people finding usage of it, now think it's a friend of Dorothy Parker, who in the 30s was a member of the Algonquin Round Table and
famously,
famously.
She was the bitch of the highest
she,
order.
Of course, therefore, she had a lot of gay friends.
Yes. And,
so therefore, basically, that's where they think it come from. Now, I bring this up because something really hilarious happened in the 1980s. The Naval Investigative Service in America, in the Chicago.
NCIS.
You know it as NCIS. In reality, we know it as NIS. Apparently, they were doing a lot of just surveillance on gay men in the Navy.
Oh, right. Yes.
And one of the investigators heard someone referring to someone at a bar as a friend of Dorothy.
Right.
Now, they were a straight investigator, so they had never heard this phrase before. So there was a very serious high-level meeting and, consequently, a witch hunt to try and find Dorothy. Because, and this is absolutely no word of a lie, they thought Dorothy was the Soviet operative running a ring of, and it would be a spy ring, wouldn't it? A ring of gay naval spies.
Oh, wow.
And, so, and apparently this went on for weeks and weeks until someone clearly went,
ah, love.
I think that means something different.
Yes. Oh, my God. Wow.
I love that.
So isn't that fantastic?
That's great.
That is hilarious.
So it is a secret language, but it's also a language that keeps out stupid people.
Yes.
is it still alive to any extent? Like if you really wanted to get into Polari?
There is some really good books that came out about 4 years ago.
I think you can study at TAFE.
You can study my leg at TAFE for no reason.
Yeah,
no, true. Polari, there is two good books that came out in Britain about 4 or 5 years ago, and they really are very good. They're hilarious.
Because I remember years ago, I used to, when I was studying at TAFE, at RIT, studying professional writing and editing, and we had to do, one of the things we had to do was study a language,
right?
You know, like a kind of English, like a dialect kind of thing. And I tried to study Polari because in my favourite comic book, The Doom Patrol, there was a character called Danny the Street, who was a street. Like that.
Right.
And he spoke in Polari. He'd be Bona Tavada. And he was this camp street, made like shops. And,
Right.
And so I thought, oh, I want to study this. And then I thought, maybe it doesn't exist because I could not find a single book about it.
Ah.
And that's how I found out about that Doctor Who episode.
Right. Yeah. And also, now here we are.
Thank God there's a book now.
Wow. If you want to listen to Polari, Google Round the Horn, which is Kenneth Williams. There were two characters on that, Julian and someone else, and they were just speaking Polari. Now, it's a very camp version of Polari and very heightened. But Round the Horn, it was a BBC radio show, and I think you can buy it on
I'm sure you can probably
but those two characters spoke it, and that's how I first know about it. And of
also,
course,
in the
anything
Navy
that
Lark.
Kenneth Williams does is brilliant.
Yes.
Also, the Navy Lark, which had John Pertwee, they spoke a lot of Polari in.
Oh, really?
Which is also a ridiculously over-the-top radio program.
And really filthy.
Oh.
Like, both Round the Horn and the Navy Lark, the filthiest things you've ever heard. You think this podcast is disgusting. You should hear what went on in the 50s. Wow. Jesus.
Revolting. Peyton Dudd in Round the Horn? Peyton Dudd involved in that?
Yeah.
Like, it's writing or something?
Yeah, and the kind of... Yeah, I think the Goodies might. No, it was just before that time.
That was they did This Day Tonight. 60s. Like, so it was like late.
Yeah,
towards the end of radio, start of television, kind of.
They'd all be from Cambridge or Oxbridge. Yeah.
So. Oh. Heaven. Wow. Thank you so much, Mother Horan.
Poor Professor Horan. Jesus, Mother Horan, Superior the Third Esquire. That was amazing.
That was incredible.
It's not a musical. Proofcast.
All right, Scott, it's time for that thing.
Is it a thing?
Thank God. I thought it was going to be time for Grunty McFuckery, but no, it isn't a thing.
I know.
had a sign of resignation.
Yeah.
Time for that.
Started off so tired.
I know. I wanted to trick the listeners into thinking it was going to be Grunty, but no.
No.
It's Dirty Talk.
Dirty Talk.
Well, what's the thing this week? Because I've run out of things myself.
Well, the thing this week is the what's known as the Dirty Sanchez.
Oh, now, I've heard a lot about this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of talk about this, but I'm unclear as to the specific mechanics.
Right.
The specificity. I think there's more than one kind, though, is there not?
Well, it can take place in many different scenarios.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But the one that I am kind of most familiar with...
Your classic Sanchez.
Well, not personally familiar with, right. But one that I'm most familiar with is when you're doing someone up the bum,
right.
What you do... is you slip your finger up their bum,
right?
Pull it out, and then run it across their top lip, thereby giving them a kind of poo Mexican moustache.
See, now, I've heard that this is called a Dirty Sanchez, but yes. I've always heard it's from when you're fucking someone up the ass, and then you come around to do a porn style, you know, stick it in the mouth, and you know, you always fumble around and bang them in the lip.
Right.
And the poo that you've not cleaned off your dick
gets
all over their lip.
So the subcategory of.
Because unless dirty maybe Sanchez's. That's a Dirty Rodriguez.
There are two kinds of dirty.
Because that makes more sense. Because why? What is erotic about. Just smearing poo on their lip. That's just like a cheeky prank.
That's something you'd see in Jackass.
It's just someone. Yeah, that's just someone being a complete asshole during sex.
That's someone just being a bit. Oh, look, lighten up.
Come on, check that out.
But
Dirty
if it
Sanchez.
Accidentally ends up on the lip, that makes
a lot
more
accidental
sense.
Sounds more plausible and realistic.
But then again, if there's that much poo on your dick, are they really going to put it in your mouth? In their mouth?
Well, no. It's that's you know.
It might be dark.
How do you see it then?
But you know,
smell it.
You get one of those DNA, you know, you spray them and like on CSI, like CSI when they have the glow in the dark.
But on a related thing, on another thing that I don't really believe is a thing, is that like that's quite a porny thing. Mm. Is someone sucking a dick, but like getting it like
all over their face,
smearing it all over their face.
Oh, I missed.
I'm just banging a dick against my cheek. That is so.
What now? Like, they do that in porn a lot.
Yes.
I don't get that.
I've never seen that in life. I've never seen that in the wild. I think that's exclusively a porn thing. I don't think that's a thing. I think that they've made that up.
That's that is the turkey slap, is it not, when you smack someone about the head?
I've only seen it in porn, though, when someone's doing it to themselves, though, actually grabbing the dick and smacking themselves in the face with it.
Well, that's autistic.
Seen... Yeah.
I'm so shit at sucking cock and it's going to... Oh, my God. Why won't this thing go in my mouth?
Oh, my God.
That's you need to have your vision corrected.
Yeah.
That's the case. You need to go to Coles and Garrard and it's get like, your eyes done.
It's like when you're having...
Off to Specsavers.
Have you ever done that thing where you're having a drink, like a Coke or something, and you're talking to someone and you don't take your eyes off them and you're trying to find the straw with your mouth. Right. And you're kind of like,
that's what it is. You know what? When someone's coming at you with an engorged piece of flesh, you probably should keep your eyes on it.
Yeah.
Just call me old fashioned. That thing could put your eye out.
And really, it, you know, if it's right in your face, it doesn't have to be too big to be that hard to miss. You know what I mean?
It's like, how did I not get this? Oh my God, this has gone in my cheek and it's gone in my eye and my ear and all around my face. And oh. Like, I get it when you're jizzing all over someone.
Yeah. You can get it jizzing all over someone. Like, that's a beer commercial if ever I've heard one.
But yeah, that whole porny thing, I'm just going to slap it on my cheek, doesn't really.
There was
just a waste of cock.
In my research for this segment, I did find another thing. I forget what it's called, but it's one where. And, you know, it's, again, one of those jackass things that I just don't think is real, where you pull out of someone while you're fucking them from behind, spit on their back so it feels like you've come on them, and then when they turn around, then you come in their face!
Yay! Oh.
Surprise!
Yeah, that's...
just, yeah.
I don't know if pranks are necessarily what you want to go for.
No!
I think there should be a clear dividing line between cheeky pranks.
Someone once sent me an email of a guy walking into a room full of women all drinking wine and having a chat, and then the guy was naked and wanking, then came in the hair of some poor girl.
Oh.
And I was like, this is not appropriate. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, A, what is going on with you and your mates with your video camera and your cocks out and wanking? And then why does your ladies having drinks in the lounge room have to be involved?
I guess the last thing you want to hear when you're spooning someone afterwards is, you've been punked.
Unless you're Kim Kardashian, and then you can make a lot of money.
Well, yeah.
There are quite a lot of jizz things.
There's so many jizz things.
Maybe we should change this to, is that a jizz thing?
Is that a jizz thing? Like the and it's again, it's another porn thing, like the maximum jizz on the face thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
The bukkake.
The bukkake thing.
Yes.
Not a thing in the wild.
Bukkake. Oh.
Well, again, I move in very narrow circles.
Yeah.
Fritzel.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Because there needs to be more than kind of one person there for a true bukkake to happen. You know, one other person.
Right,
there.
Otherwise it's just a bukkakette.
Yeah.
It's like a sample bukkake.
Yeah.
It's like a single sachet bukkake. It's like hotel shampoo bottles. It's a hotel bukkake.
It's the sort of bukkake you can take through customs. You know?
If you come in a tissue, the terrorists have won.
Exactly.
Oh, dear. And I think that should bring that segment to a close, frankly.
I think so.
Ooh. Oh, that was the Poofcast.
That was, wasn't it?
Yeah. I don't know about you, but...
I'm a husk.
I've got an anal fissure after that.
Oh, really? I've got an anal Carrie Fisher.
Are you serious? You could fit Jabba the Hutt up there.
Bacha Hoochie Bacha Brennan.
Have you seen her lately?
No. She's been on Jenny Craig. She's only half of Jabba the Hutt now.
I saw a photo of Sinead O'Connor the other day.
Oh, wow. How did
she
we get here?
She looks like something you would carry your shopping home in.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah, because she was always quite a trim figure.
Yeah.
You know, but
she was like sexy and bald and thin.
Yeah.
And anyone can take a bad photo. You know, anyone can take a very... It was a shot of her in concert at Sydney Festival a couple of years ago.
Mm.
And anyone can take a bad photo, especially in that kind of context. But she looked like... someone had buried porridge next to a nuclear waste dump and it had come alive and was stalking the earth.
Was it like Gilbert Grape's mum doing some covers?
Yeah, right? It really was. Wow. Like a tuck shop lady was giving it a bit of Nothing Compares to You.
Oh, wow.
When
she cried during that song, it was gravy.
At the risk of invoking the ire of Nellie Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear.
Mm-hmm.
She is a lesbian. She was bound to go that way sooner or later.
Yeah,
that's all right. I mean, I'm a fine one to talk. I manage the extraordinary trick of looking flabby and scrawny at the same time.
Skinny fat.
So I can't really poke fun.
But she's a plain girl now.
She show is.
I'm going to go Google her.
I'm going to go rip up her photo.
Yeah.
Mr. Humphries, leave my pussy alone.
I just went gay all of a sudden.
It's funny because it's true.
You sound gay. You look gay. you're gay. Poofcast.
Well, now we've got that sorted out, can we get on?
Poofcast.
Hey, this is the fabulous Adam Richard. I hope you enjoyed this week's Poofcast. There will be no regular Poofcast next week. We will be back the week after. But if you are a subscriber or you've made a donation recently, you will be able to download our Bloopers and Deleted Scenes edition, which will be next week's Poofcast. For those of you who have done that, you can still donate or subscribe by going to talkingpoofy.com.au. The money does just go to making sure this thing stays on the internet because it gets expensive, the internet. I'm not sure. Sure, why? Also, we are touring. If you want to come and see us, if you're in Hobart or Adelaide in November, we will be in both of those cities at the same time. No, separate times. We're not that clever. Get all the details at talkingpoofy.com.au.